All right, I'm going to jump into my opening monologue, The Right Side Way, for today. And I'll just tell you right now, you're about to get a history lesson. Been a lot of talk lately about why it is that Joe Biden is staying in office. Why would he want to stay in office? I mean, for the love of God, the man is 80-something years old. He's obviously impaired. He has grandkids, for crying out loud. Does he not have anything else he could do with his time? Has he not earned the opportunity, by the way? Whether you like what he's done or not, has he not earned the opportunity now to reach his golden years and retire? Something's up. Well, I was reminded of something yesterday, something from our own history. Sometimes what seems like fiction is every bit of reality, right? And like most things under the sun, there is really nothing new. So we watched this past week as Joe Biden was fully exposed as a man who struggles with the stresses and the functions of presidential life. Aides are now telling us that he is best between the hours of 10 and 4, after which he's prone to lapses. Well, it's a good thing the office of the president only keeps regular business hours, right? I mean, our enemies would never launch missiles after hours. But let's step back and talk about the other side of this story, though. The fact that Joe Biden is struggling is very evident to the outside world. But if we can see it, then there's no way that the members of his inner circle are not also seeing it. And for reasons that I cannot relate to, they seem bent on keeping him propped up well past his retirement years. I feel certain that I'm going to be personally working at something for many more years myself, but there's no part of me that believes that well into my 80s that I should be missing time with my grandkids or my wife just so I can do a job that others could also do. At a time in life when Joe Biden should be enjoying the fruits of his labors, whether I agree with him or not, he is rousted from his slumber, put into a suit, and thrust into the public eye every day. But why? Why is his own family, and for that matter, why is his loving, doting wife not saying something to him? Why are they not saying to him, you've earned some rest? And I'm not talking about jetting off in Air Force One to his beach house in Rehoboth Beach, Delaware every weekend, because yes, he has spent literally 40% of his presidency having time off. I'm talking about actual retirement. I'm talking about hanging up the spurs, putting down the pen, laying down the arms, and enjoying his golden years. Why? Why is this guy still making decisions about our lives when he can't even seem to make decisions about what to say or how to exit a stage? I believe it has everything to do with something we already saw once in U.S. history. Something that was hidden from the world for many years. Let me tell you the story. So in 1919, Woodrow Wilson was president of the United States. It had been a trying presidency. It was marked especially by World War I. For nearly 6 months, the president had been back and forth to Europe, personally overseeing the negotiations for the Treaty of Versailles. He was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize in 1919. But his term was also marked with controversy and polarized politics. The treaty itself was largely unpopular, and war had taken its toll on the nation. The nation, by the way, had also endured a major pandemic of influenza that sickened tens of millions and it killed 675,000 Americans. Wilson himself was struck by the flu. It's said that he came home from Europe from the negotiations, weary from the schedule of his office, but he decided the best thing he could do, though, was embark on a national speaking tour to make his case straight to the American people. So for 3.5 weeks, he lived and worked in a special train car as he traveled the country making a whistle-stop tour, meeting with local officials, talking with the press. His personal physician traveled with him and apparently became worried about his health. Because apparently, unbeknownst to the U.S. public, Woodrow Wilson's health had always been a question behind the scenes. This is all sounding sort of eerily familiar, isn't it? An ailing president, a pandemic, a war, all too familiar. Well, in September of 1919, it is said that Wilson became noticeably frail. As he finished up his tour of the Midwest and got into the West Coast, he became thinner and paler. He wasn't eating well. His asthma flared up. He complained of headaches, but he kept working and working. In late September, after speaking in Colorado, his wife found him in a bad way. His face was drooping. He was nauseous. He was twitching uncontrollably. The President of the United States had had a stroke. Well, the rest of the tour was canceled. The train returned to D.C., where the greatest charade that was ever perpetrated on the U.S. public began in earnest. So back in D.C., he managed to walk off the train by himself. He even tipped his hat to the crowd, but he was quickly whisked away and put into hiding. Back at the White House, he actually had a second stroke. But rather than rush him to the hospital, the First Lady, Edith Wilson, is said to have just discreetly called for his personal physician, who found the president in his bed, partially paralyzed. But they kept it hidden. For months, Edith Wilson kept him sequestered and portrayed to the public that he was busy directing the affairs of state. By February of 1920, some 5 months later, rumors were circulating that the president's health had rendered him unable to govern the nation. So Edith Wilson staged a grand farce. She ran the White House, and when members of Congress had finally had enough, she told them the president was ill, but if they would come at a certain time, he'd be pleased to meet with them in his bedroom. So she propped him up in bed, kept a blanket over his paralyzed left arm, and he was able to look somewhat refreshed enough for leaders of the Senate Democrats and Republicans. But they only left confused. Why did they meet with him in his bedroom? Why didn't he hold regular meetings? Why wasn't he giving public speeches? Well, this continued on for another year. Woodrow Wilson finished out his term and he left office in March of 1921. But historians have now agreed that for an entire year and a half, the First Lady was essentially serving as the chief executive as she lied to the world about her husband's physical and mental conditions. First Lady Edith Wilson perpetrated the greatest deception on the people of America, and she did it at the expense of her husband's good health, and she did it at the expense of the people he served. So fast forward now to present times. This past week, the presidential debate raised more questions than answers about Biden's capacity to govern. But just 3 days later, Jill Biden, ever at her husband's side to lead him off stage, posed for a special photo shoot that wound up on the cover of this week's Vogue magazine. Well, now, it was a puff piece, but what it showed was that as much as Joe loves being an elected official, the First Lady adores being in the spotlight. Writing about the Vogue article, the New York Post says, quote, "Peppered with glossy photographs of FLOTUS in her designer clothes, the interview centers on how very much she has long influenced Joe's decisions in so many different areas," she says. It's her third Vogue cover in 3 years. Michelle Obama only had 3 covers in 8 years. Vogue, by the way, ignored former supermodel Melania Trump. The article in Vogue quotes Jill Biden as saying that the 90-minute debate we saw last week will not, quote, define the 4 years he's been president. We will continue to fight. Okay. So basically, she wants to stay. Apparently, she wants to stay in her position as First Lady even more than she wants her husband to be in good health and enjoy his life. Certainly more than she wants all of us citizens to have confidence in the chief executive of the country. The New York Post ended their piece by saying, "Staying in the race can't be good for Joe Biden's failing health. It puts him on a course to end his career in a landslide, humiliated after trying to hang on when he obviously can't function." It went on to say, "But Jill wants him to continue to fight because she has her eye on 4 Vogue covers in a second term." So, is history repeating itself? First Lady Edith Wilson ran the White House and pretended to the whole world that the president was just fine. Why? Why sacrifice the health of the man she loved? What was the point? Where was the vice president? Where were the people who claimed to care? And I'll be honest, I think we're seeing a repeat performance. First Lady Jill Biden has no reason, no good reason, to press her husband to stay in office despite his obvious frailties. Unless, of course, it's really not about him. Maybe it's just more about getting that 4th cover of Vogue. Never mind the silly peasants outside the gate. We are watching right now the greatest deception repeat itself at our expense. And that's a wrap for The Right Side Way. There you have it. Go figure that history would repeat itself, that this has happened before. Woodrow Wilson, a year and a half in bed as a stroke victim. By the way, he left office in 2021, his wife having run the White House for a year and a half. And he died 3 years later, frail as ever. He could have had a little more time, perhaps, to enjoy life. But no, his wife pushed him on. Because being First Lady meant everything, apparently. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.